You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markef program, Joe Markef.
And Pastor Dave was counting backwards from five. I'm impressed.
Well, get stopped enough, but no, I'm just kidding.
Luckily,
no,
it
that
wasn't
never
10.
Happened. Thank God. Yeah,
right. We were doing pretty good.
I'm working up to 10, Joe.
I am Joe Martek. This is the Team Martek Hour, minus the team, but we have special team member that's here more than most team members, which is retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, Alan Love. And then we have Jonathan in here, who we definitely will have to ask some test questions today to make sure he's paying attention. And then Pastor Dave is being our producer, moderator, among other things.
Among many other things.
Yeah. Among other things.
Whatever.
I will not ask what a pizza is today, you know. I may want to know with some souvlaki instead, you know.
Well, that's above my pay grade.
There you go. Back in '04, I love that word, '04. Remember back when we were kids and people would talk about turn of the century, 19.
Well, I have a question. Considering your age, are you talking about 2004 or 1904?
Yes. So back in 2004, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, said, let's start doing radio shows, and why should we do them? Well, each person had a different area of expertise, but the reality was none of the three of us had all of the areas of expertise. So in my not too humble opinion, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your clients. Because a client will call me up and ask me questions that I just do not know the answer to. When people would say, hey, Joe, what do you know about car insurance? I say, well, I know you've got to have it. Well, Joe, that's not the answer I was looking for. I said, I got this guy, Dan Warren, you can call him. And he'll explain to you exactly what you need to know because, hey, I trust that man implicitly to make sure that I have what I need to have, whether it's car, boat, home, whatever it might be. Greg Fasula, attorney, one of the things that happened many, many years ago when I started doing what I'm doing now, one of the things I look at when I have a new prospect or suspect is putting the cart and the horse in a proper order, which means do you have a will and or a trust? And if you don't, I have feel it's somewhat my responsibility to put these things in order I mean, we're all going to die. That's the easy part. And everybody in this room have seen families absolutely fall apart. Horrific circumstances that could have been avoided if proper, quote, estate planning had been done. And what that simply means is a will or a trust. Let's put these documents in place to make sure that we may not avoid 100% of the arguments and the fights, but we probably can avoid quite a few. So when I first started interviewing attorneys, you know, Jonathan, have you ever interviewed attorneys? This is not a pretty picture. First of all, very often attorneys, and I know you won't believe this, it's hard to imagine, oftentimes they're a bit pretentious and a bit arrogant. Can you imagine that actually happening?
Shocking.
And now here's Alan Love. Now there's living proof of arrogance and pretentiousness, right?
Oh boy, you're not a personality, so I'm thinking defamation, slander.
Lawsuit time, lawsuit. Here we go. Hey, how do I make some extra money today? I sue Martech. That's it. Anyway, so I would go, my client, let's just say they lived in South Stewart. So I would go find an attorney that was pretty close, and I'd go interview the attorney and say, I'm going to bring you this client of mine. We're going to talk a will and trust. And I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. Well, he was real nice to me, and we had a great conversation, but then I would bring my client in, and all of a sudden the attitude became different. Mm-hmm. And the intimidation factor started to sneak in, and then the price came up, and I was not a happy camper. And then by pure accident, I bumped into Greg Fasula, and Greg Fasula was a good listener. He wasn't pretentious. He wasn't arrogant. He was a helper. He was fair. And the relationship started 20-some years ago, and he's one of the better people that I've ever known in my entire life. He's probably the only attorney I know personally I wouldn't mind having as a next-door neighbor, because he's just a flat good guy. And he has helped people and helped people and helped people, and part of the whole concept of us starting these radio shows was to help people. And he was a very instrumental part. Then over a period of time, we added Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, somebody I've known since 1980. This young lady, well, she loves that part that she's a young lady. She literally is probably the hardest working person I've ever met in my entire life. You couldn't get her to lie on a bet. Today, Alan Love says, by the way, Joe is Victoria's husband, is he okay? And I said, why? What's wrong? He goes, well, I called Victoria and she didn't call me back. So I called her immediately and she goes, I never, ever, ever don't call people back. I didn't get the message, which I 1,000% believe, because that's the way she is. She will call you at 3 a.m, wake you up out of a dead sleep, because that's how she is. She's one of those people that I guarantee you she's going to call you back. She also knows every street in Martin and St. Lucie County, and a lot of a pour over that goes into North Palm Beach and into Indian River County. And the woman knows her stuff, and she is, quote, honest, period. Which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. During the height of the recession, words came out that there was no mortgage money available, which was never true. Mm-hmm. There have been programs available since before and during and after, some of them with no money down. The USDA program, if you qualify for it, you don't have to put one dime down. And that program has always been there, never has changed. It's a government program, and there's many others. But Mike works hand in glove with Victoria to help people either buy or sell to get things done, which brings me to Vince Rosino, CPA, which was critical because there's constant changes in the tax code. People have questions. I'm of course, right now it's tax season, so I'm getting a phone call or three every day going through the aggravation of how these forms are, and especially Alan and I were laughing this morning about K-1s, which is, well, I'll tell you what, that'll cure you of ever trying to know taxes.
No, thank you.
No, thank you, right? You know, a 1099 or a W-2, most of us get, but a K-1 can be under certain securities. They issue a different kind of statement, which it ain't easy, just to put it mildly. And it takes a professional to understand them. And hey, when I look at them, I just get sick, and I just say, no, I'm not going to even look at them. And when people say to me, Joe, what do you do? And I said, you go to a professional. That's it. Don't ask me, because I'm no good at them either. This is just a tough thing. But just part of life that we have to go through. So the nature of the group is to put a group of local professionals with integrity, with experience, and not too humbly again, in our group, not including Alan Love, we have roughly 200 years of experience. And if I add Alan into it, it's probably 300 years of experience.
Give or take 30 or so.
Give or take, because he's a pretty old guy, right? Anyway. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. That's toll free from any place. Class, write that number down. Keep it. If you don't call us on a radio show, you can call the radio station anytime. They'll take your name and number. We'll call you back. If by chance we miss, or I miss, I hate to use the we because it's me taking the numbers, calling you back, please don't take it personally. Call back again. Bug me. I had one lady that called me from Fort Pierce and said, Joe, you're supposed to be here today. And I said, really? And I said, forgive me, I didn't write it down. And she goes, how old are you?
Well, you know, in this technological age, I was able to talk to Victoria 15 minutes after you called her and everything was taken care of. But I certainly believe that sometimes you don't get messages. Voicemail is not infallible, I've had many people, and you've had many people over the years saying, when did you leave me a message? I didn't get your message.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, that's just, technology is wonderful, but it's also not foolproof.
Right.
So the whole concept is, if by chance that we missed you and we didn't take care of your problem, our job is to help people. We're all blessed people. I mean, every one of us. We've all been given multiple gifts. And we have an obligation to do what's right for people, and we're here to educate. It's real hard teaching Pastor Dave, but I'm working on it.
Well, you have some barriers to learning.
I know. I'm working on this thing. I'm trying to be humble too, but it's just hard. But it's hard to be humble. Isn't there a song with something like that? And I forget the rest of the words.
I
know, you know them too.
I can't. I forget. Will. I was going to say, Alan is, to me, the paragon of humility. I don't know if you've ever thought of him in that way.
Paragon. Uh-huh. What's that other two words you were teaching me today?
I said, well, this is something I just wrote to my church folk and the leaders that work with me. I said, we're seeking to be efficacious perspicacity. Efficacious perspicacity.
Come on, Alan. I mean, can we even repeat all those syllables?
I mean, those aren't even attorney words.
Those are back behind. And I just said, can't we just use integrity? And he said, sure, yeah, we can do that.
Yes. Or effective shrewdness. That's really...
Effective what?
Effective shrewdness. Perspicacity is shrewdness.
When you wake up, you stay up all night reading a thesaurus? Is that your thing?
As a matter of fact, I do. How did you know that?
I could tell.
I thought thesaurus has died out 65 million years ago.
I had, when I call it my favorite kid, I had a bunch of girls at home, and I had one particular stepdaughter who every day she would read the dictionary. And at the dinner, at the supper table, she would test me on words. And she just loved finding words that I did not know the meaning of. Oh, she just danced and was so happy. But boy, that kid became probably the most literate person in the world, somebody that actually studied words and learned what these different words mean. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting little concept. 1-888-221-8990. We're going to talk a little bit about the stock market today.
It was a wild stock market today. 82 times today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed the unchanged line. It was up over 100 points at one point. It was down over 100 points at one point, and it closed down 9.29.
So, and I think Alan and I started talking about this morning. We do that other radio show at 11 o'clock on WPSL 1590 AM Talk Radio, and we just kind of loosely said, what do you think about the market? And I said, well, here's something that happened. The market, like last 2 days ago, the Dow was up 700 points.
That was Friday.
Friday. That's a monster up. But really, it's not. Percentage-wise, that was around 3%. Am I correct?
Correct.
Now, there have been many times in history where the market has gone up or down much more than 3% in a day. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yes, I want to correct something. The market was down 700 points on Thursday. It was down 400 points on Friday, and it was up 343 points yesterday.
It's an interesting thing. Now, people say, what's going on? Well, let me give you something we talked about this morning. We had three guys on the radio. Actually, we had four. And all, the owner of the radio station, Alan Love, attorney.
Dan Warren.
Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, who's a very sophisticated investor, and Joe Martek, financial advisor. And I asked everybody, what do you think the S&P 500 is going to end up this year? And all of us came within 1 point of each other. This is our opinions. Mm-hmm. We went anywhere from 7 to 10% for the year. Am I right?
Right, but realize that is the historical average of the S&P over the last 50 years.
What he's saying was we don't have to be too bright to come up with that with that estimate.
What concerns me about the market is the way it's acting. The fact that NASDAQ, your high-tech stocks,
right,
like Amazon, Google, they have been steadily dropping for,
right,
the past 7-8 days,
right,
while the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been going up, down, but it's not doing it in a pattern. Like when we were coming up and the Dow was hitting new highs, there were maybe a couple of days where the market would sell off and then the rally would resume, and it was very orderly. But when you're seeing these wild swings day to day and even during the day, that usually means that there's a yellow flag. In other words, there might be a short-term caution coming in to the market. Well, nobody can predict the market.
Now, let's just go. What short-term caution are you looking at?
I don't know. But when the market acts the way it does, the market seems to be able, better than any human being, to anticipate what's going to happen.
Okay.
We had the bottom of the economy in 2009.
Right.
But the market was signaling that from November of 2007.
Correct.
The market was telling us by its actions that there was trouble. We didn't know back in 2007 what the trouble was. But we sure found out by March of 2009 what it was.
Well, what Alan was kind of leading into is the stock market itself. When we talk about the Dow, which is 30 companies, the S&P 500, which is 500 companies, and the NASDAQ, which is somewhere pushing 4,000 companies, give or take.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Those are the gauges that the average person sees every day. Now, there's other gauges, but those are the three dominant ones. Now, normally the market will trade ahead 6 months to a year, even up to 2 years ahead, in anticipation that a company is going to grow or not grow. In other words, the value of the stock, let's just say it's worth $10 today, but because they think it's going to be a growth company in a year or two, the value of the stock might go up to $20 because anticipatory actions. And very often it's correct. Now, what creates more volatility is uncertainty in the market created by outside influences, which could be political, which we certainly are getting enough of that right now.
Or economic,
depending on if we're from Wisconsin or Michigan. So the object is this. The economy is doing, by everybody's estimation, well. In fact, they just said the last quarter was 2.9% GDP, which is the highest one in many years.
4/10 more than expected by the experts.
So then what happens is now there are some naysayers that say, well, this can't go on forever, which we know that, no such thing as forever, but they don't know when it's going to turn. However, there have been some great strides with the economy with tax reform, the abolishment of a whole bunch of constraints on business, probably over 80 different pieces of legislation that the average person doesn't know about. So many things are in place to make the economy keep going up, getting better. Unemployment is at an almost all-time low. All things seem to be humming along, but now all of a sudden that creates another fear of it can't just keep doing that. Well, we know that. The second one that causes fear is, what about inflation? Well, those of you that have lived long enough back in the early 80s when they watched inflation hit at an all-time high that we remember, and interest rates got up to that 15, 16, 17, 18, 19%. In effect, it shut the economy down because only people were happy were people with money in the bank. They had CDs paying 8, 10, 12, 14%. But people that were borrowing money couldn't afford to borrow it. Houses, they couldn't afford to buy houses because they couldn't qualify. So it in effect, just shut down the economy, which stopped inflation. It's kind of a cause and effect, and none of us like the system, but our Federal Reserve, their job is to keep us where they think we belong, which I'm not sure if they know where we belong, but in this middle of the road when it comes to inflation. Keep the economy humming, keeping people happy, not too much, not too little. And this is a fine, fine line because nobody's ever been able to figure it out. Which brings me to the conclusion of where I'm going with this. There's nothing wrong with the economy. The basics for the economy, when I think about the stock market, is if companies are making profits and growing under normal circumstances, the stock market goes up. When companies are losing money or the economy is deflating, the stock market goes down. Those are pretty simple rules. Now, there's bumps along the way that cause aggravations, which we are talking about now. But I still expect this year, and I think every one of us this morning expect this year to be somewhere between a 7 and 10% growth.
Well, Joe, I 100% agree with what you just said, but I have a little theory about what's going on.
You know what I like? You know, you ever notice how people say, you know, no, I'm not going to argue with you, but.
No. I'm not going to say anything against what you said because I do agree with it 100%.
However,
I have a theory about what's going on in the market these last couple of weeks, and the theory is basically this. We just for the first time in January had a decent market correction, which is the market
10%.
Going down for a while after a major move up. But we also have all of these short-term nanosecond traders
in the market now.
And if they don't agree, most of them agree in a market direction, what may be happening is some of them, when the market goes up 100 points or 200 or 300 points, they start taking profits. When it goes down 200, 300 points, two hours later,
they buy again.
The people that say, oh, the economy is going to be great, we got to get in there, that this is a bargain, that's what may be happening in part to all of these gyrations. And I don't think we should worry about those gyrations. They won't mean anything 3 months from now.
The reality that we're looking at is that the economy is humming along very, very comfortably. Now, there are outside influences. We have North Korea, we have Russia, we've got the presidency, we've got scandals, you name it. There's always going to be something. Always. There's always been something. There always will be something. But the American people are very resilient. Luckily, thank you, Lord, we get to live in America, which is the land of milk and honey. We are the power in the entire world. And I just can't envision, unless we have a cataclysmic occurrence, that anything is going to happen negatively in a 12-month period of time. That's Joe Martek's opinion. Next leads me into different types of investments. And this is in the last week, and we talked about that a bit this morning. All of a sudden, I'm seeing an awful lot of publicity about, quote, safe investments. And I very often, whenever I read or hear or see, I look to see who the sponsor of this statement is and if there is any supervision of these statements. Now, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect by any stretch, but when you are in the securities business, there are compliance people that say you cannot do this, you cannot do that. If you do an ad, you have to have in their prior approval, whether it's an ad on a radio, television, newspaper, any kind of print, prior approval of that, word for word, before it can be published. But if you're not in the securities business, if you're, say, just, quote, in the insurance business, you don't have these restraints or constraints. You can say all kinds of things. So I'm watching people that are putting very pretty glossy commercials out, saying things that lead people to believe that they can make an extraordinary amount of money without taking any risk. And I just get sick to my stomach watching this. So one of the things, in fact, Alan, our buddy attorney here, some months ago, I had to educate him on the word of index annuities. You remember that?
I will never forget that.
Because here he is a sophisticated, intelligent, educated, experienced. Boy, how many words can I lump on top of your head? How much weight can I put on there?
And well, we've got about 35 minutes or so.
That's all the compliments you're going to get. And
he still
was misinformed. He had the wrong impression of an instrument. And I had to explain to him where he was misinformed. And he was explained to. Is that fair?
It's very fair, yes.
So what happens is, I see this one today. I saw it on the tube, and I thought, they're talking a guy making 12% no risk. And I'm thinking, uh-huh. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Sometimes these companies allow a product to give you a bonus up front. They say, we're going to get you into here, and you put in $10,000, $100,000, pick a number, and we're going to give you 12% the first year. Your money. Boy, man. And then we're going to pay you according to the index. Okay, now what's not talked about on these things is, what's the length of time that I'm locked into it, and what are the penalties in case I want to get out, and can I take out my profits during the course of these next X number of years? Under almost all circumstances, you cannot. Very often, the only way you can take that 12% out is to do what is called annuitize. Annuitize means set up a pension, and I have to be in this for a period of time, and then I can take a check every month for the rest of my life, or whatever the annuitization clauses are. It's a pension. Is this in your best interest? Maybe, maybe not. But I have not, to date, met more than one person, I say one, who understood one of these products. And on many occasions, I have sat with people, and they bring it out, and I say, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to call the company, not the agent. We're going to ask questions, put them on a speakerphone, and I'm going to ask the questions that you don't know what to ask. We'll write them down ahead of time, and they will give you permission to talk to me, but you're going to hear it. And when we're all done with this conversation, you're going to throw up. Because very often, these people were and misrepresented might be too strong a word, but they definitely weren't totally explained what everything was. So I feel very, 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 very strong that you, the consumer, has to pay attention to what the options are and what the protections are. Very, very big time. And I've had two or three cases in just the last week where people were confused. This is not an easy subject. This is not easy. What I try to do with everybody is say, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? What's your time frame? I've got 6 months or a year. Okay, well, stay in the bank. Don't you dare go out, because if you're going to need that money, but if you're saving for retirement, we don't want to lose, but we want to make. I had people this last week, they sat for 3 years in a money market account, made nothing, when they could have made, in that same three-year period of time, roughly 40%. When you've got $100,000 and you sit and you don't make anything, that means you're going backwards with inflation. But if you would have been up to 140, you might have been a little happier. The second part of the equation is, how do we protect it? Now, here's where Joe Martek and other people like me come in handy, is we look at the individual and say, hey, look, we've got a couple of three things that can happen. I'll give you another example. I've got a relatively old guy, about Alan's age. In fact, really old now that I think about it. Pretty close to Pastor Dave here, but I wouldn't say that. And he's got a considerable amount of money that's been sitting in a non-investment, not making anything. And his family said, you know, you should be invested because everybody else is making money and you're not making anything. And I said, well, you're an old guy. And I mean, you're up there in your 80s. The most important thing is this. If you put this money into an investment and all of a sudden this big chunk of money goes down because the investment didn't perform well and you die, which we're all going to die, but you die on the wrong day and the market's down and you could have lost 30 or 40 or 20% of your money for your family, you didn't want to do that. You'd rather sit there in just a money market making nothing than rather than lose. So we have certain instruments that can put a death benefit in that literally guarantees the company, the insurance company will guarantee the principal and say, hey, no matter what, the worst that can happen is your family gets back your money. Period. That's the worst that can happen. And then you yet can be in the market, and if the market goes up, you can have that protection. Some of these contracts, depending on your age, once a year will reset it. Some will reset it every 3 months. If the market goes up, they reset that death benefit. That's a big deal.
So when you talk to the insurance company, you did that by telephone, I assume, and that leads me to our number, which is, this is a talk show. Our number is 888-221-8990. Please call with your comments or questions. We'd love to have you participating. Is that correct, Mr. Martek?
You're doing pretty good there, Alan, for an old guy. I'm impressed. Of course, I'm easily impressed now that I think about it. But on the other hand, the whole concept of here is everybody should have a goal with their money. I've got a young lady that I'm going to see again next week. And she's been talking to different people, and she's a sophisticated, educated person, but not in finance. And she's very confused. The key thing that I try to do with people is to say, hey, look, if you're 20 or 25 or 30 or 35 or 40 or even 45, these long-term guarantees and death benefits and all that stuff may not be as important, because you've got many years ahead of you that you can invest your money and you can ride the waves and have some liquidity. But all of a sudden, when you're 60, 70, 80, like people have said to me, said, Joe, you know, you're not past your prime. You're not a Hostess Twinkie. You're past your shelf life, you know. So, in fact, Alan, you're in double overtime.
Joe, let's talk a minute about something we talked about on the morning show a little bit. What would you suggest for people when they ought to start looking at purchasing long-term care insurance?
It was kind of a funny one. So I went to see this fellow some years ago out in Mariner Sands, uppity, beautiful golf course, country club community, and he was in the prettiest lot, big house on the golf course, cul-de-sac. I mean, very expensive house. So he wants to talk about long-term care insurance. And I said, well, why do you want long-term care insurance? He says, well, it costs a lot of money to go in a nursing home. It's about $6,000 a month. And I said, now, you're in Florida 6 months of the year, right? And I said, but you're in New York, outside of New York City in Westchester County the other 6 months, right? I said, yeah. He said, and you belong to a golf course country club up there that's probably even more expensive than the one down here. And he says, yeah, that's right. And I said, let's assume you have everything paid for. My guess is your cost of living is around $25,000 a month. He said, you're pretty close. And I said, I got to tell you, your kids right now want you to go into a nursing home today because it only costs $6,000 a month, and they get to keep the difference between that and the $25,000 a month. Some people just do not need long-term care insurance. Mm-hmm. And long-term care insurance is expensive. And the older you get, the more expensive it gets. And if you have health problems, you may not even qualify for it. But you have to look at the equation. What can be done as opposed to long-term care insurance? It can fit for certain people, but it's back to the horse and the saddle. Not every rear end fits perfectly with that horse and the saddle. So you've got to look at each individual person and say, what is the right way to go? And it's no different than saving money for retirement. It's no different than life insurance. We talked about that. One of the things that I've run into is people are being sold life insurance as an investment, and it's no such thing. It's against the rules to do that, even though people do it. Life insurance is there to protect you, protect your family in case you die at the wrong time. Now, there are types of life insurance you can pay more than it costs for the life insurance, and that builds up in a savings account inside of it. But normally the interest rates today are very, very, very low, 1 or 2 or maybe 3%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not really an investment. You're overpaying for this insurance and putting it in. And there's other kinds that, again, that are smoke and mirrors. And just whenever I hear the word index, quote, inside of these contracts, the hairs stand up on my head, because invariably people are not told that there are caps, C-A-P. Cap means we can't earn any more than that. And I've seen caps at 2%. They're told they're going to perform with the index, and the index might go up 20, but you have a cap at 2 or 3. And people look at the end of the year and say, what happened? Well, I wasn't told about the cap. Oh, you're kidding. Well, now what's your things? Good luck. Mm. Good luck. Because you have documents that you signed that says you understood what you were doing. And I've seen one person ever that understood exactly what they were doing when it came to these instruments. None of this stuff is easy. The thing you've got to find is somebody that has integrity that you can trust. And if they tell you the whole story and it fits, hallelujah, you won. But you've got to be more than careful, to put it mildly. Now, I will talk to anybody on the phone. I don't need to physically see them. And I can write down the questions they need to ask. We can even do a conference call with one of these insurance companies if you have a product. And we can ask the questions to make sure people understand what they've got or what they might get into.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, a lot of these products change, or are there new products introduced? You and Vince and Greg and probably Victoria, you have to keep up with that. And so you're required to take certain educational courses every year. Am I correct?
Correct, to put it mildly. Continuing education courses. What, you know, it's a licensing thing. So I have, I think it's life, health, variable annuity, plus a 66, they call it, state license. Then I have a national securities license, which is a 6-7-24. So each one of these has continuing education requirements. Now, the good thing about a continuing education requirements is kind of a test to make sure I'm not fried. Because once the brain goes and I can't pass those tests, I'm not any good to anybody at that point. So continue, and attorneys have to take them. Most professionals have to take continuing education courses to stay current. Then there are also separate courses that each one of these companies and different states can demand on top of all the rest of that. And I have no clue how many I take. I am just told by my compliance people, take this one, take that one, take this one, send money, take this one. I bet you I spend $5,000 a year taking courses. I mean, I may be exaggerating, but I don't know, because I don't want to know. All I know is that it's a constant thing. And you remember when you were an active practicing attorney, what the continuing education courses were.
Yes, and also when I was a securities broker, yep, had to every year take at least 2 courses.
Mm-hmm. Onward. So what I've done, and I'm not sure if I needed all those licenses, but I wanted to be able to answer questions and have the resources to handle almost any circumstance that comes along. My compliance people say I can't say I'm licensed to do everything, even though I think I am, because not every broker dealer does everything. There are certain ones that specialize in certain areas, and some broker dealers don't specialize in certain areas. Like, it might be options. Some are big on options, some are big on bonds. Even though I can do both, my broker dealers, that's not one of their strengths. So different people have different folks. In fact, you were talking to me today about options, and there are so many different investments available. There might be 30,000 different types of investments you can get into. Which ones are you going to be an expert in? I don't pretend to be an expert in all of them, but I know this. When I look at my clients and I try to make sure that we put the cart and the horse in the proper order, I want them, number one, to understand what they've got. Number two, if they want to be protected, we get into an insured investment. Amen. 1-888 888-221-8990. Another thing that I'm concerned about is liquidity, meaning people put money into these things, and then they find out some of these instruments, if they want to take money out, even though they might show that they've made some gain, they get none of the gain. And I said, boy, that's exciting. And I don't think many people have that explained to them, that if they take any partial withdrawals in a certain period of time, they may not get any of what's called the interest or growth until a certain point. These are questions that are not very often asked because the client doesn't always know the questions to ask. So I'm very concerned about liquidity. Almost everything I do, people can take out money immediately without a penalty.
I just want to define liquidity. Liquidity is just, you're able to get your money when you want it.
Period.
Right.
Now, how much liquidity? You know, who was I, we were talking today. Let's just say I do these notes. Some utilities are paying 5% and 6%, and they pay interest every 3 months. And that's liquid. You can buy it today, sell it tomorrow. The prices of the shares change minimally. They've been extremely liquid. But you got to pay me a commission. So let's say it's 5% is what they pay you, but you're going to charge, I'm going to charge you 2 or 2.5%. That means for the first 6 months, you don't make anything. Mm. Well, you sure don't want to get this thing on a 6 month. You don't want to be in it for 6 months. You want to look at it for a year or longer. Mm-hmm. If you're going to look at anything for 6 months or less, or even a year or less, I normally would suggest you stay in the bank. Because even though you may not make anything, the object of being in some investments, you could lose. And you might have penalties. In the meantime, guess what? Somebody actually is brave enough to call us. Mm-hmm. We'll take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi. Basically, I have a little bit of money, and I'm not sure exactly what to do with it.
Well, that's just, if you might have been listening, that's exactly what we've been talking about, right?
Yeah, I was listening. But I have another situation. My brother, I kind of take care of him. He was diagnosed with a chemical imbalance. Okay. But he also has a considerable amount of money. I mean, I can give you the figures if you want, but I just want to do what's wise with the money.
Here we go again. Yeah. You sound like you're not too old. Can I ask you how old you are and how old your brother?
I'm 47, and my brother's 2 years older than me.
Okay. Is your brother on disability or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Now,
there's different types of disability. Is he on SSI, or do you know exactly what he's on?
He's on, I believe it is SSI.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that happens when you get Social Security disability, they don't want you to have other sources of income, and if they find out you do, you might lose your Social Security disability. So you've got to be very careful about how that money is generated, even though it's in his name. So that's one concern, but that we can talk about at another time. Now, okay. You guys are both in your late 40s. Are you married, kids? Give me some clues.
No, we're not married, no kids.
Okay. So then what's your goal with this money that you've got saved?
Well, that's why I'm calling you, because I don't really have a goal, and I'm a Christian. I want to do what's wise in God's eyes, he tells us to save, but okay, it's basically just sitting in the bank, you know?
All right, so let's go into this. Now, you're going to take this money at some point. You're either going to need it, want it, or you're going to die. You've got a couple, three choices there. You don't actually have choices on all these, but the key thing is, what I normally do when I look at somebody is say, hey, we got to look at a goal. If we have, like here comes liquidity, and we were just talking about liquid money, meaning I can go put my hands on it anytime I want. Well, that money's sitting in the bank. You can go put your hands on it anytime you want, take it out, spend it, do whatever you want. So I tell everybody you should always keep X number of dollars in the bank, and the reason I ask if you were married or had children, very often the more children you have, the more money you better keep liquid. I call it case money, in case. Because things do come up, and very often when the kids know you've got some bucks, you've got a problem already. You know what I'm talking about. So that that's one thing. Two, you're not going to get younger. And at some point, are you a working man or independent?
Yeah, I'm working, yes.
Okay. So at some point, you are going to retire. Now, you may be 20 years down the road or 15 or so, but if we can make sure that that money that you've got saved and your brother has saved is there available for you as you don't get younger so that you don't have to work, that might be a goal. So
That sounds good. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I've got. You left your name with Pastor Tom and your phone number, correct?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. We'll talk off the radio, and we'll probably get together, and I'll give you some options that you can think about for you and your brother. But I'm very concerned about making sure your brother does not do things that will make him lose his Social Security disability. And
yeah, me too. We were just talking about that, yeah.
That's a big, big deal. I've got... I will share some horror stories with you when we get together that we can avoid just by making sure we're educated enough to know not to do certain things.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. I'd like to do that because I've been talking to people that know a little bit about investments and stuff, but they're kind of like, you need to know what you want to do with the money, and I don't really know what to do with it.
Well, here, the magic thing is this. We've got to look and be worried about you and your brother. What if you don't die? I mean,
exactly.
Hey,
yeah.
If we know we're going to cash in at age 50, life is simple when we're 47 or 49, but what if we're stuck living to be 100 or 90 or 95? You know,
I was just thinking of that. There's one word you've got to consider: inflation.
That's the second part. So if you have money in the bank, you're not even covering the cost of inflation, so that money is deteriorating. So literally, what I normally do with people is educate. We talk. Normally, I meet two or three times, and if we can put a plan together that wins, hallelujah, then everybody's won. So I'm going to give you a call tomorrow, and we'll set up a time probably for next week and see if we can. Where do you live?
I live in Pembroke Pines.
Okay, long drive. We're up in Stewart, but hey, we can make this work. We can make this work. All right, listen. You're what? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say my mom had the station set. She likes this station, and she had it set to the station in the car. And, you know, my mom passed away recently, so I took over her car. But I still enjoy listening to the station. So thank you guys for having
me. Well, hey, tell your mom, listen, I'm gonna have Pastor Dave over here take a direct line to your mom and tell her thank you for keeping that station on the radio.
Amen. Yeah, that's a gift of grace right there.
That's a good testimony.
All right, guys.
Thanks very much. You'll hear from me tomorrow.
Thank you. Bye. All right.
You know, which leads me into another subject, which he's listening to. And it says disability income. The government says if you're on disability, they're paying for food, shelter, clothing. And if you get other money, you're not allowed to use it for food, shelter, or clothing. Mm-hmm. So I had a client of mine who had a disabled daughter say, well, what can she use the money for? And I said, fun. Tell her to take a trip to Vegas.
Yeah.
And go gamble and play. Now, isn't this stupid?
Yeah.
But I mean, literally, you can't use it for food, shelter, or clothing. Isn't this terrible? So, I mean, it's just these are the government rules. Now, what happens is if they know, the government knows you have this money, they may cut your disability income off. And then when you die, if there's any money left over from that pile, it goes to the government to pay them back for this disability income. Mm-hmm. So there's some rules that are not user-friendly to help people. And
that's,
Alan, you're
that's one of the things I was concerned about a little bit when he said his brother has considerable money.
Yeah.
We don't know where that money is, but you're going to find out and hopefully do things to protect that money.
Things to protect it are number one, because if it's in his name and he's getting an income off of it, he could lose his disability
easily.
In. Just like that. Bam. I have a client of mine right now living down in the Keys that inherited some money, and then he started getting an income from it, and he did lose his disability income. Then it took him 3 years, he had to give that money away. he could get back on his disability income because he can't have it. He just cannot have this money. Now, there's ways around everything, but the reality is we want to make sure that we do what's in that person's best interest, period. Let's take another caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, I just wanted to ask a general question. I don't file taxes anymore. I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
Okay? And I am on a fixed income. My question is, is there a limit? Okay, I don't file taxes, but this year I gave more donations than other years. Is there any purpose in me filing taxes? I don't think so, because everything is so...
Let me ask you a question real quick. You're 73. I got that. Don't count Social Security. What is your income, not including Social Security?
Oh, very small, like $400 a month. Okay. Other than the Social Security.
So what happens is you're below the threshold. The government has a threshold, and I don't know exactly what it is, but you're definitely below that for having to file. So you already know that you don't have to file because you're below the threshold. Now, you have no taxable income on your Social Security and on that $4,000. So even though you give money away, there's no tax deduction because you're not paying anything in. If you were paying money in, so there's no reason for you to even worry about that I can see. Alan, am I right?
I agree with you, yes.
I'm bouncing it. So I don't see any reason in the world why you have to worry about it. On the other hand, if all of a sudden you inherit $1 million and you're making $100,000 a year off of it, then you got a different problem. But it's a wonderful problem.
Of course. Yes, a wonderful problem. Yeah. Problem. It's not a problem. It's a blessing.
There you go. I understand. I was using a very loose term for problem.
Term. You take care.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but the government has thresholds for filing. Not including Social Security income if you make extra amount of dollars. Now, if you're working and paying in Social Security and paying in Medicare and paying in taxes, you should file because you can get money back. But if it's not what they call earned income, if it's passive income, meaning interest from a bank or from a brokerage account or whatever, that's not earned income. And if it's pension income, he may have a $400 a month pension, they're not going to hold... oftentimes Social Security or Medicare or withholding on that money. So he no reason to file because you can't get anything back. Can't get blood out of a turnip. Now, there are exceptions. If you're a single mother with kids and you have an income below a certain threshold and you're working, you can file and get back a whole lot more than you paid in. Earned income credits, child care credits, I mean, there's different things. But somebody 73 years old like him, Alan, stay with me. You're nodding, but am I right?
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely.
1-888-221-8990. You know, a subject that is near and dear to my heart that I really can't stand are called special needs trusts. And I'm sure you're familiar with special needs trusts.
Right? I am indeed.
And I have seen, these are horrific instruments that very often attorneys love because they can make a buck putting them together and monitoring them, but they are designed to let this person stay on disability. But then sometimes their fees become onerous on these special needs trusts in order to protect the claimant so that they can stay on disability. So I very often look at a brother and a sister or family members and try to work things around so that this person doesn't have all of this government interference, etc. And I think
they can be very cumbersome.
Oh boy,
very cumbersome.
I have seen terrible. I've got a case right now where a sister's taking care of her sister. But if the special needs trust had been involved, what a horrific circumstance it would have been. Just without going into details, obviously very cumbersome is a nice way to phrase it.
We've only got about 3 minutes, Joe, and I'd just like to take a moment that Friday night begins the holiday of Passover, and as many of you know, I am a Messianic Jew. I accepted Jesus in 2009, but I still love the Jewish culture and love my Jewish heritage, and so I'd like to just take a moment to wish all my Messianic Jewish friends who are listeners of WCNO a wonderful, happy, and healthy Pesach, and enjoy your Seders. If you celebrate one or two Seders, whatever your family does, just thank God, and thank God for the blessings of the Seder, and thank God for the Jewish people and the Canaanites being led out of Egypt to the promised land, which is now Israel.
Anybody that's had the opportunity to attend a Seder, it's a beautiful, magnificent ceremony.
It is indeed, and I have had the pleasure of starting out asking the four questions, which is the youngest child's role. At maybe 3-4 years old, you start that. I've had the pleasure of leading a couple of Seders in my life, and it's just a wonderful evening to be with family to enjoy getting close to the Lord.
Well, you know, it's called a Judeo-Christian ethic. Have you ever heard of that?
Absolutely.
I know.
That's what our laws in this country are based on.
There you go. Yeah. Along with English law, you know, which is also based on the Judeo-Christian ethic.
Right. And there are only three countries in the world that in the founding documents talk about the Lord, United States, England, and Israel.
There you go. 1-888, you know, you and I are both traditionalists. I mean, I love tradition. I love history. And I look at all of the things God has done for those in history that accepted him as their Savior, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And there are some magnificent stories that are history bound, which, back again, being a traditionalist that I am, I just love that whole concept. 1-888-221-8990. And guess what? Easter is around the corner. Yep. Good Friday is here. Thursday tomorrow starts some major observances for many people. I wish everybody a very happy Easter. And we hope that everybody that is sitting here is going to be here next week.
So, absolutely. And of course, I also wish everybody a happy Easter.
Right. What do you think, Dave? Are we almost there?
We are staggering toward
staggering towards
the end of the show. Yeah.
Again,
15 seconds.
Again, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for the callers, and I've had some wonderful experiences from many people that have said they've gotten a lot of information out of our group, and thank you, Lord, for allowing us to do this. And until next week, thank you.
Amen.
Never been a sinner, I never sin. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up with the Spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.
My God is a great God. He's a great God. You deliver me from evil. You show your
me from the darkness.